As I read this to you tonight, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, I'm reading this as if it's being spoken over us tonight. I believe that's what Paul wanted. So, let's read this together, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge." Goes on to say that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. "Now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." That's a little bit of a mouthful. It's a lot to read. There's a lot of words there that you're going, whoa, what did he just say as we're reading by it? You can skim by this and it sounds kind of good, but you don't really catch exactly what Paul is praying. So I want to take time tonight to just break this down. There are four things that he is asking throughout these scriptures. Four things that he believes we need as believers to make it. And I want to break that down. But first of all, notice that he's kneeling before the Father from whom all get their name. Not only here on earth, but in heaven. You know what that means? That means we're family. We're not just the Cornerstone family. We talk about that a lot, that we want to be a family. We want to take care of each other. We want to have each other's back. We want to support each other. We want to encourage each other. That's a great thing. But we're also part of the larger family, the family of God. And with that, it's not just the family here on earth. Some are already in heaven. It's one family, two locations. Best way to think about that, my brother and I are from the same family. We have the same last name. We have the same father. He lives in Springfield. He has his own life. He does his own thing. I live here. I have my own life with my own family, but we are of the same Father. Tonight, you and I are of the same Father. We have the same name based on us being connected to the Father. The same family. And when we begin to understand that and who we are, we don't try to do things on our own. I think about it when we worship on Sundays. This past Sunday was a great example. We're just up here. You know, I don't really plan this whole thing out. We do plan the songs, but we don't know what's going to happen. But sometimes, you know, I just get a feeling that we should just play, not sing. Or maybe I get a feeling we should sing a chorus over and over and over. And you may think, man, we've sang this a lot. I'm getting sick of this. But there's a reason. But in the middle of worshiping, many times I feel something that's beyond just what's in this room. It's the supernatural. It's God doing something not only in my life, but hopefully in the lives of those around us. And that's not all about feeling. Just as we read in this scripture, it's more about faith than feeling. But you can know, there's times when I can think back, I might question, okay, is God real? Is he here with me right now? But I can think back to those times when I thought that before and notice how much he was there in my life and how much I experienced through him. And I can know that he's always going to be there. And if you think of it this way, praise goes on around the throne of God continually, day and night. That's what the Bible says. So when we begin to worship, we're just joining in with what's already going on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, I get a few nods. But we must be able to tap into the idea that we're part of this family. Not just in this room, but as a whole, as the family of God. Now look at verse 14 and 15. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So he's our Father. We've just talked about that, right? Do you never notice the confidence that children get based on their father? I have more confidence in my life based on my Father. A simple example of this. This weekend, we took a trip to Adventureland. And my kids were excited about this all week. Adventureland is basically a version of Worlds of Fun. There's like Adventureland's in Iowa. So we drove up there Friday. We spent the night and ride rides. Okay? So Tessa and Connor are very excited about it. They talked about it all week. Until they got there, and they see how big these rides are, and they're overwhelmed, and they're like, I don't want to do this. You know what I'm talking about. You've had the little children there. So this is Tessa, right here. As you can see, hopefully you can see this, but she's clinging to me. She did not want to get on this ride. I had to make her get on this ride. I know that seems mean. She looks so sad up there, and she's thinking, what is going to happen? I'm going to die. You know, because it's too big to her. It's overwhelming to her. But you know what? The only reason she got on it was because of the confidence she had in me. She trusted me. She knew that I wouldn't do anything to hurt her. And I kept asking her, do you want to ride it? Yes. Then come on, let's ride it. No. She just wouldn't. But I just said, okay, you want to do it? Yes. Okay, we're going to do it. She's like, only if you'll take me. So she's clinging to me. Now, midway through the ride, this is what we get. Happy Tessa. Literally, on the same ride, she's going around. Big smile comes on her face. And before long, she's saying, wee! You know, she's loving it. Going around. And what did you all know what I'm going to tell you. The first thing she said when she got up, I want to do it again. That's exactly right. Because once she experienced it for herself and realized how fun it was and how good it was, okay, let's look at that in our spiritual life. How many times does God want us to step out of our comfort zone and do something we're not comfortable doing? And what do we say? No. No, God, that's not for me. He knows it's going to benefit us. He knows it's the best thing for us. And if we'll just have the confidence in the Father to say, you know what? As long as I know you're there, I will step into this. I will do this. And you know what? Before long, we find the blessing that comes along with that thing He's asking us to do. There's confidence that comes through the Father. If someone's picking on her, Connor still does this at 8 years old, but if somebody's picking on him, where do they come running? Hey, Dad. If they have a problem, I mean, as simple as a McDonald's toy, if Tessa can't get it put together, she gets so frustrated. She'll even start crying, I just can't get it. So where does she come? And you know what? It's huge to her. In her mind, this simple toy is a huge thing because she's trying to get it put together. It's overwhelming. She doesn't know how to do it. For me, I simply grab it, pop it together, and it's done. How simple are the things that God does for us? They look overwhelming to us. We think, how can I do this? And it's something that's so simple for Him. Stop trying to do things on your own and rely on your Father. We don't have to take all of that. For some reason, the older we get, there's this pride thing that steps up in us, and we don't want to act as if we can't have it all together based on ourselves. We don't want anybody to know we need help. And too many times, we're trying to do it on our own. And if we would just ask for the Father's help and just say, hey, Dad, I can't get this put together. Can you help me? You know, the Bible says in Isaiah that heaven is God's throne and earth is His footstool. Now think about that for a moment. Heaven is His throne. Earth is just a footstool. So if you think about what heaven is, if God can run heaven, how much simpler is earth? It's simply a footstool. And if you think about us on earth, how much smaller are we even than that? So our problems seem so big, but to Him, they're so small. And He can handle those for us. The confidence that comes from the Father. Okay, so now we're here, verse 16. I want to look at these four things that Paul is praying for the believer. Number one is that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's a lot being said right there. Basically, it says to be strengthened by the Spirit to your inner man. Not to your outer self, not to give you some big muscles so you can look strong. That's not going to get you very far in life. Might make you look good, but it's not going to get you very far. It's not according to what's going on in your life. It's not according to how you feel today. It's according to the riches of His glory. God has never ran out of glory. He's never ran out of strength, so as long as you keep asking, He's going to have more to give. That's how He works. And what are we strengthened with? It said might. Now I went to the dictionary, because everybody knows what might means. It means strong or whatever, but when you put it into context, the dictionary has the perfect words for it. Superior power or strength. So when you think about our problems, God strengthens us with might, which means it's a superior strength to what we're facing. The next definition says the power or ability to accomplish. Think about that. He strengthens us with might, which means He gives us the strength to accomplish what we are here to do, whatever it may be. Now, if you look back, I won't take the time to do this, but I want to tell you this about power. There's two Greek words that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 1 to describe power. So anytime he's talking about power in this scripture throughout Ephesians, there's two types that he's talking about. One is kratos. It's a Greek word, kratos. The other one is dunamis. Dunamis comes from the word dynamite. So it happens like this. How many of you know if you light a stick of dynamite, something's going to change instantly? It's going to blow something up. That's the dunamis power that God has, that He can do something that quick. Boom, it's done. How many of you have known people to be healed like that? Or delivered like that? That's the dunamis power of God. There's also the kratos power. Kratos power is throughout time. It's a little slower. It doesn't happen in an instant, but He's continually changing you as you go through life. God works through both of those ways. He uses both of those. But tonight, as we look at the power and the might that He gives us, it comes only through one thing, and that's through our faith. But it comes to our inner man. That's where Paul's praying this happens. Not, like I said, to the outside. We can focus on, there's a lot of things in the world that we see as powerful. Sure, muscular strength is one of them. Physical strength. We can think someone is powerful. But also a job, finances, success, all of those make a person powerful. But if we're real and we look in our life, those things have fallen short how many times, over and over again in people's lives? Because it's not their inner strength. It's not their inner man that's being strengthened. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says this. This is going to sound very familiar because it's a very familiar portion of Scripture that we use a lot. But it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders the sin and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Considered Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Why did Jesus go through all that? So we wouldn't grow weary or lose heart. It's to build our strength, our inner strength. Now, I like the way the Message says this. I don't know if you guys ever read the Message, but this is a great way to see. I would advise you to print this off and put it on your refrigerator or in your car or somewhere to read this, because it's not any clearer than this right here. It says, do you see what this means? Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Strip down and start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. Now listen to this. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over this story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that He plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Isn't that cool? And we think the Bible is just something we ought to have laying around on the coffee table? Man, if we would take time to look at these things, they build our inner strength, our inner man, the person with inside of us that's going to keep us going when the outside can't go anymore. And we don't have Jesus as an example. We can seek the courage of Esther, the wisdom of Naomi, the power of Samson, or the prayer like Samuel. All of those things are there to encourage us in the inner man. I played baseball growing up, and in high school, I was a pitcher. So in high school, they started to really focus on muscle. So they didn't want us to be bulky because bulky meant slow when it came to pitching. But they did want us to be toned. So we had to start working out. I remember my freshman year, first time I walked in the weight room. And you've got anywhere from freshmen to seniors in there. So you've got all these big guys. I mean, I'm 5'8 now, so you know I was not very big freshman year. But I remember walking in the weight room and seeing these big guys with all this weight on the bar working out. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be doing good to lift the bar. You know what I'm talking about? But over time, I started working out. We had to. It was part of our routine, especially in the off season. And you know what? The more I worked out, the more weight I put on. The more I worked out, the more weight I put on. I didn't have to get bigger, per se. I didn't really build up that way. I just got toned, but you know what? I got stronger. And let me just say this. This is going to sound very simple to you. You can tell who's the strongest by how much weight they can bear. Now that sounds like common sense when it comes to the weight room, but think of it in your spiritual life. You can tell who is strongest by how much weight they can bear. Can I tell you, you should be able to handle more than when you first got saved. You should be able to handle more than you could last year or the year before that, because we should be growing and becoming stronger and stronger in the inner man. It's that inner strength. The second thing that Paul prayed in verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. In other words, that Christ would be at home in your heart. That's really what Paul was praying. Not just by feelings, not just by goosebumps, but by faith. It's our belief in Him that He makes a home in our heart. I had a best friend. I totally believe this story. I've used this a lot, not here, but just telling people throughout my last 20 years in ministry of this story of my best friend in high school. I had to move between my sophomore and junior year, which is not an easy move. Think about how vulnerable you are as a high schooler. How insecure most people are, so they tend to point out certain people. So I'm this cowboy hick from Oklahoma, and you know, I was in a class of maybe 35 or 40 in my entire class, and my parents move us to Springfield, Missouri, where I have a class of probably 350. So a huge school. And I walk in knowing no one. But God sent my best friend, I believe, totally for me, and he believes totally for him. I was a cowboy, like I said, so I listened to country music. George Strait was all I could think about then. He was cool. He was the guy. You know, we'd go watch him on concerts. Alan Jackson was pretty big back then. So these were the kind of things I was into, along with baseball, right? Well, this dude moves into a house 2 miles from my house. He's a junior in high school. He pitches on the baseball team. He listened to country music, he wore boots, he wore the hat, he did everything that I did. We were almost identical. What are the chances of that moving in 2 miles down the road and us meeting each other in our history class? And from there on out, I got to know other people as well. It wasn't like we just stuck together, but everybody knew us because we came at the same time. And we did the same things. You know what? He got me through high school. The parties that would be going on, we were invited to, but you know what? They'd have Mountain Dew sitting to the side because they knew we didn't drink. They knew we weren't into that. So they always remembered the Mountain Dew. Or we'd bring our own if we had to, because it just wasn't us. But out of all of that, he was a Christian as well. So it saved me so much from having to try to be influenced by those who I probably didn't want to be influenced by, or trying to get along, or trying to fit in. All of that stuff went away based on him. But let me tell you something. When I went in his house for the first time, it's kind of like going to your Aunt Sally who lives 100 miles away and you never visit, and then you go visit. You know how you're kind of nervous and you don't want to turn the TV up too loud, and you don't want to, you know, you got to clean up after yourself and everything you do, and you got to ask to go get a drink of water and all that, and you're kind of nervous. I remember being that way in his house. But you know what? The more time I spent there, the more comfortable I became. And after a few months, I just walked in the front door. I was one of the family because we were together all the time. And he was the same at my house. When I walked in, I'd say hi to his mom. If I was thirsty, I went and got a drink. I didn't ask. I went downstairs, I'd turn the TV on. It didn't even matter if he was there. He might not be there. I could stroll in, I could do whatever I wanted because I was part of the family. I was welcomed there. How many of you know that's the way God wants to be, Jesus wants to be in our hearts? It's so comfortable that he's welcomed there. He knows he's wanted there. He desires that relationship with us to where we just want him there all the time. And that only comes with spending time with him. The same with this friend of mine, Andy, that I grew up in having a great relationship with. You know what? I could pick up the phone, call him, we could get together, and we would pick right up where we left off. There wouldn't be this. You ever have those friends that maybe you're distanced from, but you can always just pick up where you left off? There's none of this, well, why didn't you call me? Are we still friends? Do you still like me? And you got to get through all that junk. You know what I'm talking about. You know how people are. But some people, you can just jump right back in. And you know what? If we're spending time with our Lord and Savior, you can jump into a conversation. You can get past the small talk of, God, I'm sorry I did this again. And God, I did this and I need this. You know what? Get past that and boldly approach him with what you have on your heart and mind. And you can say, God, I know I talked to you this morning, but here I am again. And you know what? He's okay with that because you have a relationship with him. You spent time with him. And that only comes through spending close time with God. May Christ dwell in your heart through faith. It's through your belief in him that that happens. It's a consistent faith. You know, you can see a true Christian or Christ follower, if you want to say it that way, based on their consistency. Man, if they're this way one day and this way the next and this way one day, and there's not much consistency there. God is consistent. And if your faith is consistent, then you're going to stay right where you need to be, no matter what's going on in your life. Man, I'm telling you, I grew up in church. And we saw some crazy things. I mean, people shaking, people running, people dancing, people falling out. All of that's fine. But most of those people, some of them aren't even in church anymore. Most of them, you would hear about them being the ones that were cussing people out in the parking lot later on because they got mad at them for some reason. Man, that's not consistency. It's finding a love for God that is the same sitting right here on the pew than when you're at Walmart or at your home or wherever you're at. And that comes through that consistency that only Christ can bring. That's what Paul is praying for. Let's look at verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Paul was praying that we have a deep knowledge of Christ's love. And he was convinced that one of the greatest needs in the life of a believer was the constant awareness and growing realization of how much God loves you. It's a love that surpasses all knowledge. You know, if you wanted to know the length and width of this room, we think in measurements, right? How wide do you think this is, Mitch? 60 foot. All right. I have no idea. But if I wanted to prove you wrong, I could grab a tape measure. What would I have to do? I'd have to go the limits. I would have to go all the way to that wall, touch it, and walk all the way to that with the other end, and go the limits of this room. But you understand, I could walk for days and never walk out of God's love. I could walk for years and never walk out of God's love because it's always there. Now, you can walk away from God. I'm not saying you can't walk away from, you can walk away from God. But when you turn around and you look for him, he's there. No matter what, there is no limit to God's love. We try to measure it, but there's no way. There's no way for us to fathom it. That's why it passes knowledge. It's beyond what we can even think. That is an amazing love. Think about that. I love my parents. Like I said, I grew up in church, and it wasn't all bad. But there were certain times when the things we did to try to please God. The things we did, we were trying to make sure God wasn't going to pounce on us. And it was more of a religion we didn't totally comprehend God's love. And I didn't even realize that till I was older. We joke about this all the time in staff meeting because to us it's comical now. You know, I couldn't wear shorts when I was younger. It was against the rules for me to wear shorts. I don't know why. I mean, it showed my legs. But I can tell you nobody's going to get anything off of my legs. You know what? I didn't go to movies. I couldn't step foot in the movie theater. My first movie I went to, I was 18 or 19 years old, and I went to The New Little Rascals. That was my first movie. And you know what? There's nothing wrong. I don't even feel like I missed out on anything in my childhood. Totally fine with that. But what the idea was is that if I did those things, God was going to be mad at me, or God wasn't going to like me. You know what? That's not true. God loves us. No matter what we do, the love never goes away. And some of us push those limits, just like I was talking about. Some of us have gone as far as we can, maybe on purpose or maybe not even realizing it. But when we turned around, maybe we didn't feel like God's love was there, but it was. You cannot get away from God's love. There is no way. And it's Paul trying to get us to understand that. Even though it goes beyond our thinking, it's understanding that. The fourth thing Paul wants to tell us, that he's praying for us. To know the love of Christ, in verse 19, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that first part's a little bit of an oxymoron. He says, know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Well, I don't know how you would do that. But once again, he's trying to phrase this as best he can, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. One of the, probably the most, I don't know, the time the light bulb came on for me. I've had several of those in my life. But when it really hit me how much God loves us, 4 years ago, Tessa was sick with RSV. I've told this in a sermon before, I think, and you probably know what I'm talking about. But Tessa got sick with RSV. She was only 4 months old. She'd just been born in August. This is December, right after Christmas. And she gets really sick. So she's in the hospital. And we're sitting there all night long. And Courtney was wiped out at this point. I don't even remember if you went home or if you were still in the room. But this breathing machine was hooked up to Tessa. And I'm sitting there by her bed. And unfortunately, I don't know why, but this machine beeped like every 2 minutes. And it just would continually do that. So I sat by her bed, and every 2 minutes when that beeped, I would turn it off. I was wiped out, I was exhausted, but I was not going to let that wake her up. Because she's sitting there, and her whole body would just gasp for every breath. And I mean, it literally just, her whole body would move just to breathe. And knowing that she could die. And as I'm sitting there, she's only 4 months old, and I'm thinking, God, you love us so much more than this. I was thinking of how much I loved her, and how much I didn't want her to die, and how much I wanted her to be better, and I would do anything to make her better. And then I began to realize, how much more does God love us? Had Tessa done anything for me at 4 months old, really? She couldn't talk. She couldn't really give back in any way, shape, or form. She had done nothing to deserve it, but I loved her the same. Do you hear what I'm saying? How much more does Christ love us? Did we do anything to earn it? No. Do we deserve it? Probably not. But He loves us anyway. If we can begin to understand and be filled with the fullness of God. Now I'm going to take you back to preschool for just a moment. It's one of Tessa's favorite toys right here. But when I started reading these scriptures earlier this week, Courtney, I hope you don't get mad at me. I'm going to mix some of this Play-Doh. Stole this Play-Doh. The scripture said to be filled with the fullness of God. And I started thinking about this toy right here. Because you know what we do? We start getting all the things in life that we want and that we think are important, and we start filling our life with those things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And there's lots of things out there that we can fill it with. And we just keep shoving it down in there. Oh, there's one more thing I like. Oh, I need a motorcycle. I think I want that. Oh, there's one more thing. I need a new computer. Oh, the new iPad. Oh, I need that. Whatever it is, we start shoving it in there thinking, that's what I need. But if you begin to fill yourself with the fullness of God, when you begin to do that, all the other stuff starts pushing out, because there's only so much room, right? So if you keep filling yourself with the fullness of God and keep saying, God, I need more of you. I need more of you. God, give me more. What happens? Before long, this other junk has to go until you keep saying, God, I need some more. I'm not there yet, but fill me with your fullness, God. And you keep filling it up, and you keep shoving it in there, and God keeps coming. Before long, all this other fades away. It's not getting there yet. I need some more, God. Just fill me with the fullness until I can get there. You know what? The less the other becomes anything. And before long, you're filled with God. Now, is it going to be everything? I hope so. Pray that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Because all of that other stuff doesn't matter anyway. It's not going to get you anywhere. At the end of this prayer, Paul kind of breaks it out in this moment of praise. It's kind of funny. I mean, you wouldn't notice it by reading it until you read it again. And then you hear what he's truly saying. Because like I said, when you read over this, you just kind of breeze through it. But listen to what he says. Now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He ends with this moment of praise. What is he able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think? Not from this to this. No, even further. How does he do it? According to the power that is at work in us. And did you know that's the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead? Now, what kind of power does it take to take a man from death to life? That same power works in us. Is that not encouraging to you? I was telling Aaron today, and I'm trying with everything that I can. I mean, I'm like, I really want you to get this. Because when you're studying this, there's so much, this just starts lighting up, and it's like, wow, this is awesome. God does love us this much. And I only have so much vocabulary. And I'm going off of what Paul said, and I'm taking it from everything I can to try to express this to you. But if you would only begin to realize how much God loves every one of you in this room. I don't care if you've been saved 300 years, 30 years, 5 days, it doesn't matter. God's love is here for every one of us. Think about that for a moment. How much God loves you. When I begin to think about this, how much He loves me, I'm just filled with love myself. It's being filled with the fullness of God, and it begins to just bleed out. That's our goal. That's why we're here tonight. Man, weeks get rough, do they not? Bad things happen. But when we come together and we worship God, and we sing God of Wonders, and we sing the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, when we sing those words, it's not just so we can throw them up on the screen. It's so we can think a moment about the love that Christ has for each one of us. How awesome is that? I'm sorry if I get excited, but it's awesome to me. The Living Translation. We don't even have this, so you won't see it up on the screen, but I want to read you these last two scriptures that Paul wrote. This is his moment of praise out of the Living Translation. Just listen to this. He says, "Now glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream. Infinitely beyond our highest prayer, desire, thought, or hope, may He be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of His master plan of salvation for the church through Christ Jesus." Tonight, I ask you to bow your heads. And I just want to pray the same prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. And tonight, as I pray this prayer, please begin to recognize the love of God, the immeasurable love of God. God, may you dwell in our hearts tonight. It's through our faith in you that you begin to dwell in our hearts. May we be strengthened within to stand against the devil and the things that come against us. May we begin to understand the greatness of your love. And finally, may we be filled with the fullness of you. Lord, for every person in this room, including myself, begin to fill us so much that all the other things begin to just ooze out. God, things that shouldn't be there, the unkind thoughts that we think about others, the unkind words that we speak, God, the things that we fill our mind with that shouldn't be there. As you begin to fill us with your fullness, may those things begin to wipe away. And Lord, as we walk out of here tonight, may we know the love that you have for each one of us. And we thank you for that tonight. Can we all just say thank you? Say it again. Just say thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. I hope you enjoyed, got something from this.